First of all, I apologize for a cough that I have. I've had it for quite a long time, just can't seem to get rid of it. Apologize for that first. Second, I'd like to say I appreciate the invitation to come and be with you here this weekend. I've been looking forward to it since Brother Ronald asked me about coming. Thirdly, I'd like to say if I do or say anything that will offend you, I'm known for being brash. That's the only way I know how to be. That's my personality. I believe you speak the truth, and if you get offended by the truth, it's not me that has the problem, it's you that has the problem. I've been told that I'm fat. That's the truth. It's offensive, but it's the truth. So, you know, I get over it. Sister asked one time, Brother Ronald mentioned my brother Mickey. They asked, and I heard this is not hearsay. They asked the lady, how do you know the difference between Ricky and Mickey? And I was very anxious to hear what she said, because it was very obvious to me the best way is I'm a pretty good sized boy and my brother's not. That's the best way to tell us apart. Now, we don't look that much alike, but if you don't know which one's Ricky, which one's Mickey, that's the best way I think you can tell us apart. She said, well, said Mickey's the nice one, Ricky's the other one. So that's how she put me. If I do offend you, please forgive me. I didn't come to offend anyone. Never have, never will. Bible says it's better that millstone be hung around the neck and cast in the deepest part of the ocean than to offend the least of God's little ones. I didn't come here to offend you. I did come here to speak the truth as it's written in God's word. I will say this before I get started. I'm not much on introductory remarks. I'd like to get started and get on with it, but I esteem your pastor, Elder Ronald Lawrence, very high. He and I have been friends, like he said, since I was a teenage boy. First time I ever heard him preach, he was still living in North Carolina. Now, when I was a teenage boy, I had a drug problem. Now, before you get worried about it, it wasn't like you think. It's that I got drugged to church whether I wanted to go or not. My dad was a Primitive Baptist preacher, and he took me to church whether I wanted to go or not. A lot of times I wanted to go, but it wasn't for the right reason. It was that there's going to be some good food served. And you can see I don't miss many meals. But I heard Elder Ronald Lawrence preach, and not many preachers, can I tell you, as many preachers I've heard, I've been Old Baptist all my life, been taking the meetings all my life. But I remember the first time I ever heard him preach, and I can tell you exactly what he preached on. He sent redemption unto his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. And I wish I had that sermon on tape so I could go back and listen to it. Because I believe in my heart the first time I really heard and paid attention to the gospel. You hear what I said? The first time I really heard it and paid attention, it meant something to me. It really touched my heart. And Brother Ronald and I have been great friends over the years. We do have a common interest. We both like the game of golf and plan on playing tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. Hadn't played in a while, but looking forward to it. And sure enjoy the times that he comes down our way. Ask you pray for me. I will go ahead and tell you that up here, I know this church is very large. I was very nervous. I don't know many people here at all. Kind of funny that two people I do know are actually from California. That's kind of funny. You know, California's a whole lot further away from Mississippi than Tennessee. But I met Brother Larry and Sister Basha in California last May. I believe it was. I believe that's right. Fifth weekend in May, I was in Madera, California, and I met them. And I did meet Brother Ronald's wife, Sister Karen. And now I've met some of you. I do know Sister Molly's dad well, Elder Lonnie Mazingo Jr. He doesn't live too far from me, pastors the church in the same association that I live in. Brother Ronald mentioned something tonight that as a preacher, if you've never preached before, you don't know what it's like. And I'm like Elder Ricky Harcrow. I think every person needs to preach twice. One time where they're given liberty and one time where they're not given liberty. Then you'll know what it's like and you'll have a little more compassion toward your pastor, your preacher. But a lot of times when you try to decide on what you will preach on, you wonder, is it of you or is it of the Lord? And I will tell you that I have a desire to preach what the Lord would have me to preach and not what Ricky is comfortable with. If I were to ask you a question, I'm a teacher, by the way, a former teacher. I've retired, and I like to ask questions. And let me say this, when I ask a question, I'm not looking for an answer, for a loud answer. Preaching in Alabama a while back, and I made a statement, what if I told you that I was not a sinner? Now, all I was asking the question was to get you to think. A gentleman I know very well, sitting over here to my left, said, "I'd call you a liar, brother." And it really threw me off. I really had to catch myself and remember where I was going to try to go, because I wasn't looking for a verbal answer. But I do ask you a question to cause you to think. I think if there's one person here in the congregation you need to be concerned about tonight, that's you. Brother Ronald mentioned that we're here for one reason, and that's exactly the reason I came 7 hours to get here. It's the exact same reason Brother Ronald was talking about. And if I ask you the question, why are you here tonight, what would you say? What would you say? Brother Ronald mentioned my brother. My brother is also a teacher, a principal, and now he's a superintendent of education of our county there. When he was in school to become a teacher and a coach, he took a class in coaching, and the teacher gave him, the boys that was in that class, the young men, some advice. And the advice was, if when you get your first teaching job, find the most influential church in that community and hook yourself to it. I think that's some of the worst advice I've ever heard in my life. That's not the reason I attend a church. This is not a social event for me this evening, friends. We sing a song down home. I'm pretty sure it's in the book that you have. It's entitled, "Brethren, We Have Met to Worship." You know, a church service, my friends, is not about your pastor. It's not about the deacons of this church. It's not about you, but it's about the Lord. That's what worship's all about. A church service is not a social gathering. It's a time of devotion and worship to the one true and living God. I was asked a question a couple years ago, and I never had really given any thought, never been asked the question. And if you ask me a question I don't answer, it probably means I don't have an answer. And number two, I want to think about it a while before I answer the question. I really want to think about it. I don't want to give you a wrong answer and come back and say, "Well, that's what I thought, but now I think something different." I really want to think about it. And the question was, what is the identifying marks of the true church? What are the identifying marks of the true church? I don't know about you, but I know me well, and I know that I have a desire to be a member and a part of the true church. And I believe the old line, Primitive Baptist, is the true church. If I didn't think so, I promise you I wouldn't be here on a Thursday night. I'd be back home still searching for that true church if I hadn't found it. Well, this minister asked me the question, I didn't have an answer. I knew I would see him later down the line, and I told him, I said, "You give me a rain check on that and let me think about it a while." I was home one day reading and studying my Bible, and I came across this scripture found in Philippians chapter 3. And tell me if this is the identifying marks of the true church or not. You tell me. You can make your own judgment. It says here, Paul speaking. I like this, by the way. I like Paul's writing. First of all, how many of you ever heard a preacher say, "I'm about to end the sermon," and 30 minutes later he ends it? You ever heard that? "I'm about to wrap this up," and then 30 minutes later he dies. Well, Paul did the same thing. He writes two chapters here in Philippians, and he begins chapter 3, which I know they didn't have chapters. That's for our use. But he says, finally, my brethren. And then he writes, there's two more chapters. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." That's a good thing to do, my friends, is rejoice in the Lord. "To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Then he says, "Beware of dogs." You find that language kind of funny, "beware of dogs"? I mean, y'all think he's talking about the four-legged dogs that run around and bark. It's not what he's talking about. He's actually talking about the Jews. You know what's funny about that? Is that's what the Jews call the Gentiles. So he's turning around and said, "They're the dogs. You beware of them." Then he goes on and says, "Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision." You know what? He's talking about the same people. All three categories there, the dogs, the evil workers, and the concision, is all talking about the Jews. And the concision means cut off. That's what that word means. He's talking about the circumcision. They believe it was circumcision of the flesh. Paul knew better. He knew it was circumcision of the heart. Paul knew better. The circumcision of the flesh didn't avail anything, but the circumcision of the heart, which God does, my friends. Man doesn't do that. God's the one that performs that circumcision of the heart. When he takes out a hardened, stony heart and puts a heart of flesh, it's God that does that, and Paul knew that. And he's telling them, you beware of those people because of what they're trying to tell you is wrong. But then here's what he does say. Listen to this, found in verse 3. He says, for we are the circumcision, we are the true circumcision, and he says, who worship God in the Spirit. Brother Ronald said in his introductory remark, the main reason we gathered here tonight is to worship. There we go, friends. It's not about numbers tonight. It's not about getting people to come here tonight. It's about those who are here and are here for the right purpose. Too many people go to church, I believe, for a social event. I don't go to church to see friends and have a good conversation about the football game, which I love college football, by the way. We're not going to talk about that. I got in trouble already with my t-shirt I wore up here. I am from Mississippi, though. I'll say that much. And I don't believe in supporting, you know, I don't say go Afghanistan or go Iran. I'm an American. So, you know, I cheer for Mississippi teams. I know you're from Tennessee, and it probably got me in trouble. Nonetheless, let's go on. He says we worship God in the Spirit. Friends, what is the church service here about? Are you here tonight to worship God in spirit and in truth? That's the very reason I'm gathered here tonight, is to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I tell you, friends, it takes both. It takes worshiping God in spirit, and it takes worshiping God in truth to have true worship. I believe there's a lot of people who worship God, my friends, but they're not worshiping in spirit and in truth. They may worship Him in spirit. They may worship Him in spirit, but they're not worshiping Him in truth. Because the truth of the Bible says, my friends, God doesn't need any help. Jesus Christ, we sang the song, "Ever who selected tonight, I appreciate." I believe this brother right here selected, "It is finished." I like that song. You know why? Because that's the truth, what the Bible says. Jesus Christ came into the world to do a work, and I got news for you. He finished the work He came to do. He finished it. He didn't halfway do it. He don't have to come back and, you see, oftentimes I date myself, I tell you where I'm from by my language, but he didn't have to lick his calf over. Y'all may not know what that means. You ever heard that expression? Brother Ronald, you ever heard that? Okay. At least I'm not speaking Greek there. He'd have to do it over, my friends. Christ did it once. You know why? Because he completed the task he came to do. He came to do the will of the Father, and he did that very thing. Let's go on now. I got a lot to cover. We're going to get through it a decent time. He says, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Friends, there's a whole lot of sermons in this one verse right here. More than I can cover the whole weekend. But do you rejoice in Christ Jesus? Do you rejoice that He finished the work that He came to do? I tell you, friends, I rejoice in Christ Jesus. I believe the old line Primitive Baptist Church is the only church who truly rejoices in Christ Jesus. It's not Jesus Christ plus, it's Jesus Christ, period. Christ didn't need any help. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need Brother Ronald's help. I tell you, friends, Brother Ronald, as much as I love to hear him preach, and I never heard him. This is the seventh sermon I've heard today, by the way. Seventh sermon. I already heard six. This is number seven. And I heard a preacher, Elder Lonnie Mazingo Jr., on the way up here. It's a sermon I got recorded. Brother Lonnie preached. And he's talking about Brother Ronald. We're down in Headland, Alabama, down at the Gulf Coast Fellowship meeting. And he says, I never heard Elder Ronald Lawrence not preach. I hadn't either. Every time I've ever heard him stand, the Lord's blessed him to preach. And I gleaned something, I gathered something from what he had to say. But friends, let me tell you, as wonderful a gift as Brother Ronald is in preaching, the knowledge of the Scriptures, and able to teach and preach God's Word, he has not populated heaven one. He hadn't added any. Oh, friends, I tell you what he does do. You know what the preaching of the gospel does? It brings life and immortality to light. You know that's what the gospel does? Let me ask you a question. If we could make it completely dark in this sanctuary tonight, would this glass of water still be right here? You couldn't see it, but it would still be right there unless I picked it up or somebody picked it up and moved. That's what the gospel does. It brings it to light. It's there. It's already there, but it brings it to light. I rejoice in Christ Jesus. I believe he finished the work that he came to do. I believe he came to seek and to save them that were lost, and he did every single thing he was supposed to do, my friends. There is not going to be one of God's children left behind. I'm not concerned about being left behind. Oh, I got friends of mine, friends that just, to me, their religion just doesn't get it done. They believe that when that day comes, they're going to stand before Jesus and give an account for every sin they ever committed. And I tell you, I've met some of you already. If God goes in alphabetical order, that is true, which is not. But if it's true, and you're last, they're going by alphabetical order, and you're behind Myers, you got a long wait. Because when he calls my name, I'm going to be there a while. I'm like Paul, my friend. I feel to be the chief of sinners. But it's not that way. I believe that Jesus Christ paid for every sin that you ever have committed, committed today, and ever will commit. And he's put them far as the east is from the west. You notice he didn't say north from the south. You know why? I bet you've been taught that, hadn't you? You know the difference? If I tell you to start going east right now, when would you quit going east? If you could continue to go east, when would you quit going east? You'd always go east. If I tell you to go west, you'd always go west. What if I tell you to go north? If I told you to go north, when you got to the North Pole and started down the other side, you know what? You'd be going south. So there's a distance that can be measured. There's no distance between the east and the west. And you know what? He says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. You mean he lies? He's going to bring up my sins at that last day and make me give an account for them? No, friends, I give an account for them every day right here. You don't believe it? Go out and sin. See if it don't cause you trouble, your wife trouble, your children trouble, your family trouble. You just find out. Because I tell you, every decision you make, friends, affects not only you, but those that you care for. Brother Ronald goes out and he acts crazy. He comes down the south of Mississippi and acts crazy. I promise you, it'll beat him back to Tennessee. It'll beat him back here. You know why? Facebook. Yeah. Oh, Facebook. He'll be on there just as quick as he gets down there and acts an idiot, which you don't have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. But the last thing he says here, it has no confidence in the flesh. How many of you believe that I can make a choice to be born again? How many of y'all believe I can make that choice? How many of you believe that anybody can make that choice? See, I have zero confidence in the flesh. You know why? The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. You know what that means? Let me explain that to you. If we could get this sanctuary completely silent tonight, how many of you could hear music? How many of you can hear music playing? I promise you, friends, every type of music there is coming through this building right now. Every type of music. Bluegrass, country, rock and roll, you name it, it's coming through this building right now. You know why you're not hearing it? You don't have a receiver. If you have a receiver, my friends, you can pick that up and you can hear it. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of God because he don't have a receiver. He don't have a receiver, the natural man, but the spiritual man does. But I want to focus tonight on the first part, on that we worship God in the spirit. I want to focus on that tonight. John chapter 4, Jesus speaking to the woman there at the well. He tells her a lot of things, doesn't he? She says, I perceive thou a prophet. You know, he asked her, he said, you bring your husband here? And she said, I have no husband. He said, you're right. You've had five, and the man you have now is not your husband. She said, I perceive thou a prophet. And she began to tell him that she heard that Jerusalem is the place that you worship. And Jesus tells her, It's not where you worship. It's how you worship. And he tells her that God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And we won't look at worship tonight. We won't look at worship. And we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 22, and we're not going to leave it. So if you got your Bibles and you want to follow along, we're going to go to Genesis 22, and we're going to stay right there And I'm going to show you four things I believe that is imperative to true worship. I think it's imperative. Genesis chapter 22. Four things that I believe is imperative to true worship. And I tell you, friends, I'm concerned about true worship. I really am. Brother Ronald knows me well. He knows that away from the church building, I'm not very serious about a lot of things. But when I walk into the Lord's house, I do have a different personality. Because now, we're here for serious business. We're here tonight to worship the King. If you turn to Genesis chapter 22, you're going to find that God is about to tempt Abraham. The Bible says so. Now, I'm going to let you know, he's not tempting him to do evil. God never tempts a man to do evil. This tempt here means test. I tell you, friends, you don't believe God tests you, you don't know anything. You know, one day, I'm not a very patient person. And I was, one of the biggest things, problems I have is something called RR, road rage. Y'all have it? You struggle with it? I do. And if you drive 18-wheeler, I'm sorry, they drive me crazy. They get side by side and stay there for miles and miles. I'm ready to get on along, get on down the road. But I was at home one day, and my girls, that Brother Ronald mentioned, were being girls. And I said, Lord, grant me patience. I need patience, Lord. My wife asked me, could I run to town and pick something up? And the first thing that happens is somebody pulls out in front of me. I kind of smile. Go a little bit further, another car pulls out in front of me. This time, they putt, and I live on a two-lane road. They're putting, and they only go about a quarter of a mile, and they turn left. Thought you could wait, I got by, and why'd you do that? It wasn't a mile down the road. One come out, and I had to swerve to miss him. And I said, Lord, forget about patience. I don't need it quite as bad as I thought. See, that's the way I am. But God does test us from time to time. He tests our faith to see how strong our faith is. Let's read. We'll read a little bit here. I don't like to read because I don't like to insult anybody's intelligence. But for the sake of what I want to try to get across, I'm going to read several verses here. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Well, here's something that's, if you're not a true Bible reader and believe God's word, you might have a tough time believing that God is going to tempt a man to take his son. And the Bible says his only son. Is that the truth? Yes, it is. Now, I know you Bible scholars said, no, he had a son named Ishmael. But this was his son that was promised by God, by his wife Sarah, who has passed the years of bearing children. That's who he's talking about, his son Isaac. Now, there's four things we'll look at tonight. First of all, I believe true worship requires obedience. It requires obedience. Think about it. God is telling Abraham, that he had to take his son to a certain place that God would tell him of and offer him for a burnt offering. How many of you paid attention to what the first few words of verse 3 said? And Abraham rose up early. Now I have three daughters. If God came to me and said, I want you to take your oldest daughter, Brother Ricky, and take her to a place I'll show you, and then offer her for a burnt offering, I think I'd say, oh, I wouldn't get up early the next morning. I'm an early riser. I think I'd dilly-dally around. I wouldn't get on along with the program. But you know what? Abraham trusted God. You know, God had promised Abraham that through this son, that his seed would be as numerous as the stars. You see, God had made him a promise. And Abraham knew that even if somebody asked me, Brother Ricky, do you really believe that Abraham was going to take that knife and put it into his son and kill him? And I tell you, yes, he was. You know why? Because in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells you why. He knew that as he received him in a figure, that he was born from a barren womb, that God could raise him from the dead. Oh, friends, that tells you why Abraham was going to do. But here's the first thing is to be obedient to God. And the Bible says that we are to present our bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And I want to tell you, if you think that verse means that every time this church meets, I show up, that's not all it means. It means every day of my life that I present my body, a living sacrifice. Oh, I put others ahead of myself. I put what's in the best interest of my church and my family ahead of myself. And so many other things we could go on. And for the sake of time, we're going to continue on. But he was obedient. I couldn't find the verse, but I believe I can quote it close enough. It's in 1 Samuel, I'm pretty sure. I'm sure Brother Ronald can tell you where it is. It says, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of rams. To hearken. To listen to what the Lord would have you to do is better than sacrificing animals as they did in the Old Testament. That's what he said. So see, being obedient is very important in the worship of the Lord. And friends, when we come here, we need to be obedient to assemble ourselves. You know, I said this to one of the churches I pastor, and one of the deacons came up to me and said, Brother Ricky, I appreciate that. I've never thought of it that way. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but if you're a member of this church, I'm pretty sure your pastor's told you. I'm not telling you anything new. I didn't come to tell you anything new. But I'm pretty sure he's told you, when you joined this church, you made a covenant to this church that you would be here every time the church doors open. Now, you say, Brother Ricky, Brother Ronald's gone sometimes. He's not here every Sunday. He goes down to Mississippi and preaches meetings, and he's gone. You know, I had a church I pastor, had a sister there in the church that she and her husband and children missed church one time. And the next time we met, I told them that we missed them at church. And she said, thank you. Well, not long after that, I missed service. I was preaching at a meeting somewhere. When I went back to the church the next time, she said, Brother Ricky, said, we sure missed you last Sunday. I said, thanks. Oh, but we really missed you. I said, thanks. He said, oh, you're not getting it. We really, really, really missed you. I said, thanks. She said, you're not getting it. She said, we missed you because you weren't here. I said, oh. I said, still thanks. Kind of got off with it a little bit. I said, hold on 1 second, though. Let me tell you the difference between me and you. When you miss, you miss. When I miss, somebody takes my place. So when you miss church, get somebody to come for you. I'm not trying to get you to miss church. I'm telling you to be here. But we ought to be obedient. Number two, we got to move along. You know that worship takes preparation? You know worship takes preparation? Do you know that? I told you I was a school teacher. I'm a retired school teacher. I taught science for many years. You know, a lot of things that science tells you is wrong. You know that? If I took a science book and I read it and took every word for what it said, y'all know I believe some things that's not true. I would believe that God didn't create this earth. Genesis chapter 1 says he did. I would believe that God didn't create man, that man came from apes. How many of y'all believe? I've seen some folks that made me wonder, but did you come from apes? I had a teacher in college that told me that anybody who believed in organized religion was dumb. And he said that he believed in the theory of evolution. I raised my hand. I always sit in the back corner of the classroom, raised my hand, and he said, "Mr. Myers, would you like to say something?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Have you ever seen a monkey turn into a man?" He said, "No." I said, "If they did it back then, why aren't they still doing it?" He said, "Mr. Myers, I perceive you are a smart donkey." He didn't say donkey. He said the other word. But see, he was able to go and say what he believed, and now when I spoke up what I believed, I was a smart aleck about it. I used to tell my students, I didn't give them much homework. I believe in doing working class. But when I gave them a reading assignment, oftentimes we'd come the next day and I would tell them something wrong on purpose just to see if they had read the lesson. Now, I don't believe Brother Ronald gets up here and preaches and tells you something wrong just so you say, wait, that ain't what that says. But how do you know, my friends, how do you know when your preacher stands before you and he's preaching the truth? How do you know? My dad told me this man one time, said they were asking him at work, said, about his church. I said, what do you believe at the church you go to? He said, "Well, I believe what our church teaches." He says, "Well, what does your church teach?" So, "What does your church believe?" He said, "Well, what I believe." He said, "Well, what do you and your church believe?" He said, "The same thing." He didn't know what he believed. And there's too many people out here today that's being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know why? They haven't read God's word themselves. To prepare, you see, Abraham prepared. He took everything necessary for the worship service. You don't believe it? Read it. What do you need for a burnt offering? Don't you need a sacrifice? Don't you need wood for the fire? Don't you need fire? Don't you need something to kill the sacrifice with? He had everything with him. He didn't get there and say, "Oh, wait a minute. I need to go back home. I forgot something." He prepared for the worship service, my friends. And how many of you can say you prepared for the worship service tonight? I hope that if you didn't pray tonight, you didn't pray today before you came to the service, I sure hope you prayed before you come tomorrow night. I tell you, if a man ever preaches, it's because God is with him. He is never going to preach on his own. And if he thinks he can, he's not very intelligent. Friends, I tell you, when I first started preaching down south of Mississippi, Sunday morning I thought I was really blessed to preach, and Brother Ronald knows who I'm talking about, a deacon in one of the other churches, came that night. He said, "Boy, I heard you was really blessed to preach." Oh, boy. My head got that big. I started preaching on Sunday night, and I was going to preach on the gifts of God. And you know what? I got going. I had it rocking and rolling. And all of a sudden, I couldn't tell you my name. And I sat there what seemed like for 30 minutes. It's probably only about 30 seconds. Couldn't think of nothing. And the Lord finally said, Ephesians 2 and 8, "By grace are you saved through faith, and not yourselves, it's the gift of God." I quoted that and sat down. You know what I learned? I learned a valuable lesson. Preaching's not of man, it's of God. It's of God. You got to prepare yourself, though. You got to pray. You got to read and study God's word. Oh, friends, pray for one another. Pray for your pastor. Pray for him at all times. You know what? I've seen this recently here, that Satan is on an attack of ministers. You don't believe it? Think about some of the ministers you know and the tough times they've been through here lately. You know why? Because if Satan can get to Brother Ronald, I trust you, friends, it's going to affect this church right here. It's going to affect every single one of you if Satan can get to him. Because he can disrupt the whole flock by getting to Brother Ronald. Pray for him. Pray for his family. Pray for his ministry. You read and you study God's word. And when you come here, be prepared here and here. Have your heart set on worshiping the Lord. Have your attention focused on God. I heard Elder Adam Green from Arkansas preach a few years ago on Ephesians 5:25. And one of the things he said is, I wonder how many times in my life that I've been a dark cloud over my wife being able to worship. Because here's what he said. I'll go ahead and tell you, if I'm late, I'd rather not go. I'm not here to step on your toes. But I can't stand to be late to church. And you know what's funny? I pastor a church that's 171 miles from my house. Brother Ronald was there back in October. He knows exactly where the church is. And you know what? My wife, when I first started pastoring there, all my three daughters were younger. My wife could get those three girls up, get them all beautified, and we could get to church there at 10:10, 10:15, church starts at 10:30, every time. The church, my home church, Antioch, is 10 minutes at the most from my house, more like 7. She can't get there at 10:45 to save her life. And I give her the blues about it. You see, we don't need to do that. I need to prepare myself for worship. And I don't need to hinder anybody else's worship. And that's the next thing I'm going to bring about. Next thing. Number 3. When you read and study God's Word, do you really read and study God's Word? Do you look at what it says? I want you to look at this. Listen to this real closely. It says, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took 2 of his young men with him. Listen now. That's in verse 3. Verse 4, here's what he said. Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Y'all find that odd? I'm going to bring Brother Ronald and Brother Tim down to Southwest Mississippi. We're going to get out to the church yard, but I'm going to tell them, when you get to the church, y'all stay out here in your car. I'm going in and worship. Does that make any sense? Think about it. You ever thought about it? Why did he take those 2 young guys with him to a certain point and then say, you stay here while I and the lad go and worship and come again unto you? Why did he tell them to stay behind? You got any ideas? Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, I don't have much original material when I preach. Being a preacher's son all my life and going to church meetings, I preach a lot of what I've heard. But I really got to reading this one time, and I got to, why would he tell these young men? Why would he say, you stay here? And here's what I think. Brother Ronald takes me with him. He's going to offer Brother Tim as a burnt offering. I know about burnt offerings. All of a sudden, I see the wood start being stacked up, and I see the fire lit to the wood. And I'm looking around going, wait just a minute. We're missing one thing. We're missing a sacrifice. And all of a sudden, he starts to put Brother Tim up on that altar. What do you think I'm going to do? How do you think I'm going to sit there and go ahead, Brother Ron. All right. I'm going to be the cheerleader for it. Yay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop him. You know what I see this as? Is Abraham got rid of every hindrance. Now, what do you think about that? How many of us, and you hear what I said? So how many of us come to the church with so much on our mind and so many things? Boy, you know, I could be cutting my yard this afternoon. It's a beautiful, oh boy, the fish are biting. Oh, golf course sure looks good. And we're distracted about things of this world that we can't worship. This tells me, friends, that we need to get rid of everything that's going to distract us from having true worship with God. Brother Ronald once again has told us the very reason we're here tonight is to worship the one true and living God. It's the only reason we've assembled here tonight. You know what? The supper was fantastic. There's probably nothing I like better in this world than a hamburger cooked on the grill. And probably right behind it's a hot dog. And you had them both. The only thing I wish I could have ate a lot more. And I told Brother Ronald, Primitive Baptists do things backwards. You need to have church first and then eat. Because when a guy knows he might preach, he don't eat as much as he'd like to. I can tell you I don't. But we need to get rid of every distraction. How many times have you ever been a distraction? I wonder how many times I've distracted my wife from worship because I've given her the blues about being late to church. Well, I should be thankful that my wife has a desire to even go to church. I'm a distraction to my daughters. I've got a daughter, love her to death, but it takes a explosion to get her out of bed. It irritates me to no degree. I'm a morning person. I promise you, 5 o'clock, Brother Ronald, in the morning, I will be awake. I'll probably be reading, but I will be awake. But I also plan on going to bed at a decent time, so I don't stay up and talk all night. We'll talk in the morning. But my grandparents taught me that night's for sleeping. We need to get rid of anything that may distract us and hinder us from true worship. And you know what? What hinders you may not hinder me at all. But what hinders me may not hinder you at all. You know what distracts you from the worship service. You know. You know what I've noticed about some people when they come to church? It's a good place to go to sleep. Got a real good preacher friend of mine. Called him one day back when I was a lot younger. I wasn't preaching myself. He was, but I wasn't. And I said, "Brother, I need to talk to you." He said, "I'm in a financial bind. I said, I need some help." He said, "Well, brother," said, "if I can help you, I sure will." I said, "Man, I don't want a handout. I've come up with this ingenious idea." I said, "If we can record," this is back before every sermon was recorded. I said, "If we can record all your sermons, anybody that has insomnia, they can listen to them, they'll be sound asleep." You know, I'm amazed. I have church members who tell me, "Brother Ricky, I can't sleep at all at night." Well, I tell you what, just have a worship service. Have a worship service. You can go to sleep in church. Nothing stops you from sleeping in church. I was in Arkansas not too long ago and going to preach the afternoon service. And y'all know Elder David Montgomery from San Antonio, Texas? He's a real good friend of mine. And Brother David knew I was in hearing range. And he said, boy, so they're going to preach Brother Ricky Myers this afternoon. So that means I can lay flat of this pew and go sound asleep. I heard him. I didn't say nothing. When I got in the pulpit, I told the story of one of the worst experiences I ever had as a coach. The worst experience I probably ever had as a football coach was we were getting ready for our first football game, and we were going to practice on Thursday before Friday, and all we were going to do was run through our playbook. Start with play number one, run play two, run play three, all the way down to play 85, and we lined up right, we were going to the house. The boys wasn't very focused. And our head coach came up with a brilliant idea. His brilliant idea was we could start at play number one. We're starting over. We got to play number 84 and goofed up. We were going back to play one and start over. What should have been about an hour practice wound up being 4.5 hours. And I was ready to go to the house. And I told the church up there in Arkansas, I said, "Let me tell you this. If I see the first one of you nod off where I'm at in my sermon, I'm stopping and starting over." And you know what? Most attentive congregation I've ever seen in my life. Most attentive I've ever seen. We need to get rid of anything that distracts us. We may be having financial problems, but when we come to the house of the Lord, we need to forget it. We may be having other type of trouble with our kids. We may be having other jobs. You know, there's a lot of people down home that are without work because we got a lot of people down where I live that's in the oil field business, working the oil business. And you know, gas being $1.95, $2 a gallon, got a lot of them laid off. Now I tell you, I wish it would go up a little bit. I don't like paying much for gas, but I'd rather have people working, providing for their families. But you know, you may be having those problems. When you come to the house of the Lord, you need to get rid of anything that's going to get your mind and your heart off of worship. Think about that. Last thing. It requires faith in order to worship. It requires faith. Another sermon I heard your pastor preach, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want you to listen to this now. I'm about to close. When you come to the house of the Lord, do you have faith that God is going to be here in this service? And this is not just going to be a waste of my time. You know, the older I get, the more valuable my time is. I do not like wasting time. You know why? Because it seems like I'm pulled in every direction. Every direction I'm pulled. Tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night, I'm missing something I would love to be at. My youngest daughter takes dance, and her dance recital is tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night. And I will miss all three. Let me tell you, there's something greater, and it's the service of the Lord. Oh, not that I don't love my girls. I love them. But I had faith, my friends, that when I drove this distance to Nashville, that when I got here, I would find people just like me who had come to this place tonight, but for one reason, and that's to worship the King, to bow down and give glory where glory is due. Friends, you've done nothing. And without God, you are nothing. But with him, friends, there's so much that you are. Romans talks about that. It says if you're a son, then you're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, and over in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, it says that you've been made kings and priests. Say, Brother Ricky, I'm not a king, I'm not a priest. Yes, you are. If you're a child of God, you are a king and you are a priest because he's made you one. See, he is worthy. He is worthy of our praise and our honor. He is worthy of our adoration because, friends, I believe with all my heart. When I got to Brother Ronald's house, I hadn't been there long, and my sister sent me a picture. And if you want to see it, I'll show you the picture. You know what the picture's of? It's a picture of a grave marker. It's a picture of the grave marker that was put down today at my church, my home church there in Brookhaven, Mississippi. And you know who's buried at that grave marker? A man by the name of Elder Wayne Bryant Meyer. My dad. And friends, my brother and I conducted my dad's funeral. Some of my cousins were there who aren't real big churchgoers, and they came to me and my brother and they said, you know what? You two guys are unbelievable that you could preach your dad's funeral and not break down and just lose it. You know what, Brother Ronald? It wasn't us. God was with us. But you see, I've got consolation that where my dad is today, there is not a dreaded disease called cancer. My dad is no longer in pain. It hurt to see my dad lie there in that bed wanting relief and not getting it. See, my dad and I were probably closer than my two sisters and my brother were. My dad and I had some common interests in hunting and fishing. And my brother liked ball, and I liked ball plus hunting and fishing. I was real close to my dad. My dad got real sick toward the end, and a nurse was fooling with him there, and he gave me a look like, son, there's one person I thought I could count on to help me in time of need. It was you, and you're letting me down. And that hurt. But friends, when I discovered my dad dead in his bed, I'm the one that found him. I woke up one morning at 3:45 a.m. there at my mom and dad's house. I had a monitor that you have for babies. When I woke up, I laid in the bed flat on my back, and I thought, something just isn't right. And I didn't hear that breathing. And I walked back there to the door of his room, and I didn't hear it. I turned on the light. I walked over to his bed. I put my left hand on his right arm and my right hand on his right leg. And my dad was still warm, but he was gone. You see, I say that to say this. I know where my dad is today. My dad is a place called heaven. And I have faith that the God I worship is a God of promise making and promise keeping. He's made a promise that he's going to prepare a place for us. And as he's prepared that place, he's going to return and take us home. Oh, friends, the older I get, the more I realize I am not at home. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger here on this low ground of sin and sorrow. My home is a place I've never been to. Isn't that funny? That's funny, isn't it? That my home is a place I've never been to. But I tell you, friends, to worship God requires faith. Abraham had much faith. He's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, what I refer to as the hall of faith. He had great faith that God made a promise and that God was going to keep his promise. If I thought that God would make a promise and not keep it, I would be still back in Southwest Mississippi. But let me tell you, God has promised where two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be in the midst. Now, this is it. I'm closing. I'm not here once again. If this speaks to you, it speaks to you. I'm not pointing you out. I don't know you, so you can't say, hey, he's preaching to me, trying to upset me, because I don't know you. But I got a friend of mine one day. He and I were talking, and I was trying to get him to come to church or go to church, not just come to our church, but just go to church. Go to church with his family. And here's what he told me. He said, Coach, I can worship on the deer stand just as good as you can worship at your church. You ever heard that before? I'm going to tell you, that's not true. You can pray. You might can even read your Bible while you're there. And that's good. But God hadn't promised to be with you on that deer stand. If you're going to church where there's two or three people, you know what? He's promised to be there. And that's why you need to be here. And friends, remember what true worship is. It requires obedience. It requires preparation. It requires getting rid of anything that's going to hinder you. I heard somebody back in the lunchroom saying they wish they could get rid of a few pounds. Don't know who it was. Didn't pay attention to who it was. You're not the only one. I got some pounds that hinder me from doing some of the things I'd sure like to do. I used to be a pretty athletic guy. Not anymore. Not flexible. Can't move very quick. I get tired real quick when I try to do something. And I would like to do that too. But that requires a little work. It doesn't just happen because I want it to happen. Same thing with worship. How many of you read this word? How many of you read it? How many of you know what it says? Brother Ronald gets up here Sunday morning, he's preaching, and he says something that's not true. Are you going to pick up on it? Are you just going to agree because that's what the preacher said? That's what he said. It's true. I'm not telling you Brother Ronald's going to preach error. I'm not near about telling you that. I will tell you he's capable of it because he's a man. He's capable of it. But I know that he reads and studies God's word immensely. If you don't believe it, listen to him preach. And I don't know. First time I heard Brother Ronald preach, he talked a whole lot faster than he does now. I'm glad he slowed down a little bit. I really thought he was one of those guys at the end of a car commercial, what he did for a living when I heard him preach. You know what I'm talking about? Does the disclaimer thin. That's how fast he was talking the first time I heard him preach. And quoted verse after verse after verse. And I would try to keep up and see if he was getting them right. And the ones I could catch up with, he had them right. That's from much study of God's word. We need to be like the Bereans and study to see if these things are true. Study God's word. Prepare for the worship service. You know when you need to start preparing for tomorrow night's worship service? When we say amen tonight. May the Lord bless you with my prayer. Brother Ronald.